So turn to John chapter 8. The book of John started, chapter 8 of the book of John started with an adulterous woman standing on trial and the Lord offering grace and mercy. And we studied how the Lord examined the hearts of the individuals accusing her and addressed the woman herself and addressed the idea that, you know what, we're all sinners and we need a Savior. And we're all blinded by those accusations, and the Lord kind of dealt with everybody's sin, and we come to the conclusion the Lord is a wonderful balance of grace and truth, and he fulfilled the law. At the same time, he offers this mercy to us, and that's why he is our Savior. And it goes on, and by this time in the book of John, if you study the Gospels, there's this progression, and from the very beginning, people love John. People love the Lord. They're gathering to him. John the Baptist says, "Here's the Lamb of God. He's going to take away your sins." The Lord or God the Father says, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." When he gets baptized, he starts his ministry. The moment he starts his ministry, he gets tempted in the wilderness. The Lord, right? So guess what? The moment we get saved, we're going to be tempted, right? So it's nothing strange. The book of Peter says, don't think it's strange that these trials are going to be coming to you as a Christian. The Lord had to go through these trials, but by this point, now the Lord is, they're seeking to kill the Lord. They don't want him around. They think he's a radical. By law, anybody claiming to be God, which the book of John, the Lord all over, it's riddled with him saying, this is my Father. He's performing these miracles to show his divinity. He is claiming, he's making a bold claim, I am God. And by charge, we looked at Deuteronomy, we looked at Leviticus. By charge in the Old Testament law, it is punishable by death, by stoning. But the Lord is crucified, right? A Roman death. So we'll get to that too. But this is where we're at. They are refuting, and they're having this conversation, and the Lord is, he's having this dialogue with religious leaders. With religious leaders who are caught up in their religious matters, and they're saying, our father's Abraham. We're right with God. And Jesus says, he started in 41 and 42, he says, you know what? You don't know my father. You don't know my father. Look at, you're seeking to kill me. You're doing all these things. You don't know my father. Well, Abraham's my father. He said, you're not Abraham's. Abraham can't be your father because you don't do the works that Abraham did. And we looked at Abraham was a friend of God, and Abraham believed the Lord by faith. And these men are just attacking the Lord, and the Lord defends not only his word, but he tells them the truth, and the tone changes where he gets more direct because they have more accountability because they were supposed to teach the scriptures, and instead they were using the law to enslave people. And we're going to start with verse 43, but we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just whatever we can get done today, Lord, in this book study, I pray that it comes out edifying the saints, and that, Lord, it's glorifying unto you, and that people, we look to magnify you. Not that you need to be magnified, Lord, to be made bigger. You're already great, Lord, but to have others' perception of you, to see how great you really are, and just the matters here, doctrinally teaching and application to our lives, Lord. We just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus ends with verse 42. He says, if God were your father, verse 42 of John 8, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And Jesus telling them, I'm virgin born and I came from God, because they just attacked him saying essentially that he was what we would call and this word's not a bad word, it's just a word that's been perverted. They would call him a bastard. They're calling him an illegitimate child. The Lord, they're calling him that because they said, obviously, he's not really virgin born. So what's the problem here? Number one, these religious people don't believe in the Old Testament scriptures, Micah 5:2, Isaiah 9. All these prophecies saying there is going to be someone who is going to be born of a virgin. Can you believe? Can you honestly say that your father is of Abraham and that you're close to God, yet you don't believe one of the most very important doctrinal points? Jesus Christ, he came, he's virgin born of Mary, right? That's so important. That's a doctrinal point even today that people disagree with, right? That people don't believe in. So automatically, that's number one. why these men don't really know God. They didn't believe the scriptures. And it's an important point. Verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech? He says even because ye cannot hear my word. You don't have to go there. If you want to turn back to John chapter 7, it's only a page. John 7:15 says this, and the Jews marveled, saying, John 7:15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters? Letters meaning, in this case, the law, right? He knows all these teachings, he knows the law, having never learned. How does this man know all about our law, never learned? Well, they obviously don't know him. Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, my teaching is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will, we just sang a song about it today. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He says, once you start to get to know me and understand who sent me and understand doing the will of God, then you'll start understanding whether if it's of God or whether I speak of myself. What is he saying? My Father's my witness of what I'm doing. I came in compassion. I'm sinless. I'm performing all these miracles. What more do you want from me? He says, but you can't hear my word. I gave you evidence, but you don't desire to hear my word. The definition of hearing, go back to John 8, the definition of hearing is this. It's to perceive. It's to give attention to. Okay? So we always say, well, you know, it's to also give an audience to. So when we say a judge, or I need a hearing with the judge, I need a hearing with the court official, right? People say, I have a hearing in the court of law. Well, essentially what that's saying is they're giving you attention to set aside time for that hearing to hear the matter, right? Before the judge. But here's the problem. What are they doing? He's given them evidence. He's displayed to them. He says, guys, I can assure you I am not a liar. I am not crazy. I am the Son of God. Look at all the miracles I'm doing to show you, the Jews require a sign. I'm doing all those things. But he says, when I speak truth, I've given you everything. He says, I know the law. He fulfills it. Not only that, but his actions, he's grace, he's truth, he's merciful. Everything is pointing. He's giving them all examples. He's quoting from the Old Testament about when a Messiah is coming. They're looking for their Messiah, and he says, I'm right here. But you don't desire to hear me. Why? It's because they don't want to change. See, he's given them the evidence, but they don't want to change. Why? They want to use the Sabbath to enslave people. They want to stick with their own religion. They want to be ordained with all the beautiful garbs, and they want their control. See, it comes down to the very same thing that's happening today, and they want their control. They don't want to hear the truth. Keep your place here. Here's a great verse if you want to write this down. Ezekiel chapter 12. Don't turn there. I'm just going to read it for you. But this is the Old Testament, folks. Ezekiel, a prophet. Israel's been in rebellion. They were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And they start to get out of it. But here's what the Lord tells Ezekiel. He says, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, now, God called Ezekiel in the book of Ezekiel, son of man. But Jesus Christ is also the Son of Man. But watch what he says to Ezekiel hundreds of years before about the people's heart. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of the rebellious house. He says, Ezekiel, tell them this. Thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not. For they are a rebellious house. Commonly in the Bible, it's called the house of Israel, right? This rebellious house. What's been the problem back then, and what's the problem now that Jesus has encountered? They masquerade as these quote unquote holy religious figures, but in their heart they're far from God. And Jesus is calling them out on it. And today we can go here, we can play church, we can go to other people, and we see other people, maybe other religions and all these things, and they seem like wow, that person's really great, they're really good, they got everything well put together, they're doing these great things, and inside their heart is far from God. They're about as distant as you can get. and I'm not saying anybody here today, but what I'm saying is I was a prime example of someone who played church, but my heart was far from God. I was sitting in a pew right there. My heart was far from him. And these guys are, they're playing with fire. They don't believe him. They don't believe their word, but they're having these, and Jesus addresses it right to their heart. And he says, you're rebellious. And by the way, these verses, if you want to write down, he also says it in Isaiah 6 and John 9 and 12. Jesus reiterates this in John 9. And he says, you guys have eyes, but you're not seeing. What's the difference? Wait, I have physical sight, but you don't have spiritual sight. You have these ears, but you're not really there. The light's on, but nobody's home. See, remember when we said hearing means you perceive and you give audience to? See, you can listen to the preacher, but are you giving audience to what he's saying? And I'm not saying about me. I'm saying to God's word. You can give audience to that by actually setting aside and actually saying, am I taking the word of God and making it effectual in my heart? These men were not doing that, and Jesus addresses that. Turn back, if you're there, John chapter 8. We'll go forward. Verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. And we're going to start seeing that they're going to continually try to just bash Jesus. And he has an answer for everything. And that's what's so great about him. Verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. So he continues on. He says, if for context here, in the previous verses, they're saying, we're right because we're Abraham's our father. We trust in our Jewish, our Hebrew nationality. That's what makes us right with God. Jesus says, that is not what makes you right with God. And this is what he says. Ye are of your father, the devil. Imagine just saying, if you were to say that today to certain people in different countries and you went up to them and say, your father is of the devil, would you be wrong? No, but can you imagine that? But see, Jesus, he just has this authority because he is God. He says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer. He's describing Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Lucifer, he was God's second in command. And in Isaiah 14, he says, I will. He says, I will ascend to the Most High. He says, I want to be above God. He wanted, and he fell. And he says, there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. What is he saying? He says, not only are you a liar and you're doing lies and that you have no truth in you, but your father is also one that has no truth and is a liar. Therefore, that's why you are acting the same way. He's saying you can have one of two fathers. You can have God the Father, Abba Father, whereby we cry, right? We could be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We repent of our sins and saying, God, your son died on the cross for my sins. I repent of that. He becomes your father. But until then, folks, the Bible says, if I don't believe the Lord and what he did for me, who's my father? Jesus Christ is very clear. It's the devil. See, so you can't have two fathers, right? You can't have both, one or the other. That's why once we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are adopted into his family. Praise the Lord. I want him as my father. But Jesus is making an important point. He is calling the Pharisees liars, which in that day, nobody dared speak to them like that, right? Because they separated themselves. They had this proud look to them. But he says, you guys are murderers. And not only are you murderers, you basically proved to me because earlier in the chapter, he says, you guys seek to kill me all the time. Therefore, you are a murderer. He says, the very works that you do prove that your father is of the devil and they can't hide it. In John 8, 45, Jesus continues and he says, and because I tell you the truth, and he says, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. He says, because I'm offering you the truth, that is the very reason why you don't believe. The truth is there. It is propositioned. He says, here's the truth. I am the Son of God. I have given you all the evidence. And he says, that is the very reason why you're rejecting me. And that is the very reason why people reject him today. John 3:16, we know that verse, but go on. It says, why do people reject the Lord? Because they love darkness rather than light. And I'll say it again every time I come up here. They love darkness rather than light. They're rejecting him. It's a heart spiritual matter. It's a spiritual heart matter that Jesus is encountering right now. In Ephesians 6, it says that there's this spiritual warfare going on. Even today. Today it's going on. We see physically right now. There could be spiritual warfare happening right now. It's happening. We don't see it. The Lord, that's what I'm saying. As a child of God, you are protected. You got to put on that armor of God, but you're dealing with much bigger things than just a Pharisee and a Sadducee that are playing religion. It goes beyond that. They're wicked. They are hiding behind their father, the devil. And today, folks, it is no different. Think about what we're encountering today. I'm just going to ask all the parents out here that would be considered the either boomer or Generation X, right? Back then you said, I can't believe that's there. But now if you progress and you're saying, well, come on, we can't be real. I can't believe that we even think about this. But 20 years from now, Lord willing, if he tarries, we're going to be saying the same thing. Why? It's because this is the progression of man. And unless people get saved and they change and come towards God, it is going to continue in this, right? And that's why we're saying, Lord, heal this nation. Lord, heal the souls that are lost in this nation. And then you won't have to go to the abortion rally. You won't have to go to all these pro-life things. But that's in this world. He said, Lord, they need the gospel first. You got to change that heart first before anything. Should we fight for those causes? Absolutely. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, though, is gospel's up here. Jesus Christ first. And he says, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Don't turn here for the sake of time, but I'm just going to read this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is charging Timothy. He's starting a church. And he says, Timothy, he's charging him. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He says, encourage. He says, make sure people are being corrected by the word. He says, but do it with long suffering. Do it by putting up with people and loving people, and do it with doctrine. Do it with the Bible. Do it with teaching. And he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to listen to what they want to listen. Sound doctrine, right living, right? Sound doctrine. He doesn't say doctrine. He says they will not endure sound doctrine. These Pharisees are teaching people, right? It's no different today. Religious leaders preaching today or teaching, it could be whatever. It could be a big, it doesn't matter. They're teaching of some thing, but in their heart, they're not. There's no sound doctrine. There's no right living. There's nothing there that has changed or shown that they are a new creature. It happened back then. It's going to continue to happen. But this is what he says. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They're going to be turned away. We preach the blood of Jesus Christ saves sinners. We preach the Bible. We preach Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that 3 days later, he rose again and that you can have eternal life. And that this word is what we can count on. We preach all that. But today we're going to start, we're seeing the transition that this goes away. And what's happening? People are learning and turning their ears to fables. You don't need that. Why don't you try Jesus and something else, right? We don't add on Jesus. Jesus is the substitute. We can't add to him. He's the author and finisher of our faith, and by Christ alone. And this is the problem is we're seeing today. Don't think that this Bible's not relevant in 2024. This word is eternal. Your soul is eternal. This word is eternal. And it's that's the thing is that whatever is going to happen around us, promise you, don't turn to itching ears. focus on this word, and no matter what happens, God says, I promise you, you focus on me. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about all this mess in the world. Tell people about me, focus on me, serve me, and all will be well. John 8:46. Which of you, he says this, he's asking it's kind of a rhetorical question, but he says, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? And only Jesus can make this claim because it's true. Anybody else, if I said that claim, people say, well, you did this, you did that. I can call back 3 years ago, you did this. You're a mess. I can't say that. You can't say that, but Jesus can. And see, the very thing that why they can't say that is because he's given them evidence to say, you know I speak the truth. There's no doubt about it. He says, if I committed a sin, I want you to name it right now. And they can't. Verse 47, he that is of God, he that is of God, heareth God's words. See, he's talking about hearing again. Heareth God's words. Ye, plural, ye therefore hear them not because ye are not of God. That's a strong claim, but he's absolutely right. I want to bring up two points. In John chapter 18, Jesus is standing on trial, and they're about to put a man by the name, but they're about to free a man named Barabbas, who was, and I'm going to use this term, he was technically an insurrectionist, okay? He was somebody, that's what his charge was. And the people go, and the people look at him, and they say, do you want Jesus or do you want Barabbas? And they choose Barabbas, okay? Now remember, you know who we are? We're Barabbas, folks. We're Barabbas. See, we were spared from that, although we were charged with the crime of sin, and we deserved what Jesus took upon us. We were there. But he died for all mankind. But here's what Pilate, he has this in an amazing encounter with Pilate, a governor of the time. And this is what he says. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall, John 18 for reference, judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee of me? Are you saying this? Are you claiming this yourself? Or did somebody else tell you of that? That's how he answers that question. He's getting to the heart. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. He says, this is not my kingdom right now. He says, if it was, I would have people fighting for me. He's claiming his kingship, but he's not saying it directly. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Verse 37 of John 18, he says, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. You can't escape the truth. Right? In fact, you know what? I mean, well, I'll just put aside for, you've all seen that movie with Jack Nicholson, right? You can't handle the truth. They literally couldn't handle the truth because they couldn't accept it. What's the idea here is that Pilate in the next verse asked the most important question. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto him, I find in him no fault at all. He asked the question, what is truth? And I don't know if Pilate was asking internally, if he was saying it internally, but also saying it audibly and for everybody to hear. But he's conflicted. And you know what? He says, right after he says, what is truth? And then notice the very next thing it says, I find in him no fault at all. The truth, we read in last time's sermon, the truth shall make you free. You're in bondage to sin and the truth. What's the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He died on a cross. He is the Savior. He's been telling us, I'm going to pay for your sins. You need this, or else you will have eternal damnation. He says, you need a Savior. And that is me. That is the truth. And Pilate asks this most important question. And you know what? Pilate finds Jesus innocent, his enemy. Judas says, I just shed innocent blood. His second enemy just declared that Jesus was innocent. Jesus Christ was innocent. None of us, if any, Jesus Christ was the only man ever alive that was put to death for being absolutely 100% innocent. You understand when your parents say you're not really innocent, we aren't. We were born stealing cookies from the cookie jar. That is our nature. But Jesus Christ is so contrary to them that he never knew sin, but he bore it for us on that cross. So this idea of truth is that he says, you don't know the truth. You don't truth because you don't hear my voice. They're listening to Jesus, but they're not hearing him. You understand? Faith, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. John 8:47, it says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Turn to, real quick, we'll turn to John chapter 10. We'll skip over ahead to John chapter 10. Why is it important to hear God's words? John chapter 10. Starting in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, why come to this passage if we're talking about the Pharisees? Who do you think is the hireling? The Pharisees, right. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. What does that mean? It means that those Pharisees, they're not there for the people. They're there for themselves. In fact, we see it today. The moment any sort of persecution happens, the hireling will scatter because the money's not there, because times get tough. The shepherd will stay and protect the flock. Seeth the, it says, whose own sheep are not. Seeth the wolf coming. Okay? So the shepherd's gonna, he sees the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep. Right? So the hireling sees the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep. He scatters and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. So he says, you know what? I'm not there for the people. I could care less. I'm going to leave because the wolf's coming. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. That means he knows who his sheep are. That means God knows who are saved, and he knows, and the saved know who their God is. It's a mutual relationship. They know. It's that full assurance of faith. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's a sermon in itself, but for now, just know the Lord's going to pull all the sheep together into one fold that hear his voice. I went to a sheep farm a couple years ago. That sounds like an interesting transition. I'm sorry, but I'm using this as an example. We went to a sheep farm a couple years ago, and it was an Airbnb, but it was a sheep farm, and they were Christians, and they say, hey, do you want to call the sheep in? So they gave me a giant bucket. And I made a sound, and they were led towards the sound. But when you lead sheep, you actually lead them from behind because they want to scatter, and they just want to go all their which way, and sheep are essentially dumb, right? So you have to lead them, but I had to hide behind a door and hit a bucket, and they would follow the voice. But the moment they kind of saw me, they were kind of hesitant because they know I'm not really there all the time. There's this guy, he's calling me in, but That's not the owners. They were kind of hesitant. But the moment that they started calling in the sheep, the moment in, they just started hurtling it because they know the shepherd. They know they're comfortable. They have a working relationship. That's how sheep are. Sheep need to be fed. They need to be told to be fed. They need to be instructed to be fed. And the Lord's equating this beautiful picture because guess what? David was a shepherd, right? He's a picture of Christ. That's what they did in the days. He's showing a picture of illustration of during this day, there were sheep, there was farms, and he's equating it today, showing that picture. Therefore, doth my Father love me because I lay down my life? that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. That's so important. No man taketh it from me. Taketh what? His life from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. The commandment have I received of my Father. So very clearly, Jesus is telling us when he goes to the cross and he yells, it is finished, it is by his own volition, it is by his own power. He therefore says, death does not determine when I lay down my life. He says, I determine that. And that is important, because that shows that he conquered sin. He conquered sin. He says, it is finished, was his cry on a cross. And that shepherd, he laid down his life for his sheep. And he's making a contrast. Why? He says, you guys are nothing but hirelings. You're nothing but that. You don't hear the truth. You're supposed to be representing me. But the moment things get tough, did Jesus scatter for his sheep? No. He boldly went to the cross for us. Two more minutes. I just want to get through two more verses. John 8:48, if you can turn back there. And then we'll end with those two verses. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, I mean, I don't know how do you answer somebody that says something like that? I don't know, but they're just, here comes the second insult. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. So now that's the second insult. The first insult was essentially calling him, you were born you're an illegitimate child. The second one was calling him a half-breed Jew. That's what a Samaritan was. Now notice in John chapter 4, Jesus preaches and he comes to the woman at the well who was a Samaritan. Salvation's for all. He loves everybody. But see, they're stuck on, I'm a Jew, that is going to make me right with God. No, because guess what? When Christ died, he says, neither Jew nor Gentile. He says, when I look at you now, he says, are you saved? Do you have life? Do you know my son? Do you know the shepherd, or do you not? And that's what he sees. But see, now they're insulting him again. And I just want you to know, imagine being those people standing before the judgment seat one day. It's not a funny matter. It's not a flimsy matter. That is a serious thing. So what they're doing is they're mocking him. They're blaspheming God. But at the same time, they think that Jesus is a blasphemy himself, because he's claiming this claim that he is God. And Jesus answered and said, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh in judgment and judgeth. He says, here's the evidence. I'm not seeking mine own glory. I could call all these angels. Remember, we could say he could call all the angels off the cross. He could have done this. He could have done that. He could have called his servants. He's making a point. He says, I have all this power. I've shown it to you. I could have done all these things. I could have. When they wanted to stone the adulterous woman, he says, whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. But Jesus was the only one qualified to cast that stone, meaning what? He's legitimate. He's here for a reason. He's coming to seek and save that which is lost. He says, come to the shepherd. Come to me now while you still have time. Because one day those doors are going to shut and it's going to be too late. And here's the thing. He says in John 5:41, Jesus himself says, I have all these witnesses. I have God the Father. I had John the Baptist. I have my word. I have myself. I have my miracles. I have the church. I have all these witnesses. And he says, I receive not honor from men. Jesus does everything and of a pure heart for the Father. And that's what we should mimic that for. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. That was his mission. John 12:47 says, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But wait, that verse is not finished. Well, wait a minute. If I don't believe him, he came not to judge me, so I'm okay, right? No. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. What is salvation? Receiving the words of God, right? He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him, colon, the sentence is not finished. What's the one that judgeth him? The word that I have spoken. the same shall judge him in the last day. What's the one that's going to judge him in the last day? The Word. Revelation 20:11 says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And it seems like a somber note to end with, but the idea here is this, is that you need to hear God's words. When there is a supernatural thing that happens when somebody hears the preaching of God's word. It's quick and alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the only book that will not only last the tests of time, it is the only book that will ever be attacked upon more than any other book. It is the only book that will save you. Why? It's because the book doesn't save you. It's the words of the person who died on the cross for you that will save you. And he instructs us and he says, there is power in my word. It changes people's lives. It convicts them. They change their life. And he says, it will save you. Jesus Christ will save you. And he says, it's the same thing. Do you hear my words? Are you listening to the words that I'm saying to you? And that's the important point he's getting across. Next time we'll conclude in this chapter and talk about what he's talking about when he says, before Abraham was, I am, and talk about that whole history and lineage of not only that, but talking about the children of disobedience and the different types. And we'll conclude our service.